Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's June 17th. This is Brad. I've got Kevin and Sam in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brad.
How are y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you doing? You're the one who's been ill.
I'm feeling much better. That steroid
got
shot.
A big shot of steroids yesterday.
That did wonders. So, you guys, either of you watched the soccer game last night?
Of course. That was a great soccer game.
That was, maybe
one of the best
most
I've seen.
Impressive starts for the U.S. at the World Cup, anyway.
Especially, the last two World Cups, Ghana knocked us out, so it was nice to get some revenge, and especially since I didn't think we were going to pull it out there for a second.
Absolutely, but we got two tough games coming up, Portugal and then Germany. Yeah. But, we got this one anyway.
Hey, if this is the only one we get, it's worth it to me. So.
Well, my daughter is in Brazil. She's flying home today, but they were outside the stadium at the Iran-Nigeria game yesterday. And so my wife was on TV watching, hoping to get a glimpse of her outside the stadium. It's like, do you know how many people are there? Anyway, we've got a good show today. We've got a return guest, and he's brought someone with him this morning. We have Prasant Desai, who is the owner and founder of Ability Rehab, and with him today is Heidi Lippman, who is speech pathology manager with Ability, and you do some other things, I guess, and we'll get into that. But welcome back, Prasant, and if you could first of all, thanks for being with us, and if you could just start by reminding our audience a little bit about who you are, where you're from, where you went to school, how you got to be doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Brad. So my background is actually in health administration. I grew up in the hotel business, but transitioned over to healthcare post college. I've got a degree in business and in public health, master's from Southern Miss. Southern Mississippi graduate. My folks live in Biloxi, Mississippi, and met a girl from Atlanta and made the move up here about 4 years ago. We started Ability Rehab to provide therapy services, physical, occupational, and speech therapy, into assisted living, independent living, and adult daycares. A necessary support service to the communities that I'm used to owning and operating myself, and saw that there was a need for those types of assistance.
Excellent. Great. And so you moved from the beach to Atlanta.
I did.
Maybe someday you'll move back.
It didn't seem
like a good idea at the time, right?
Yeah, no sorrow for there.
I went from the world of trees to the world of concrete.
Well. Yeah. Well, good. We're glad to have you. And let's jump over to Heidi. Heidi, if you could kind of do the same, just give us a little bit of background on you.
Certainly. I did my undergrad at University of Georgia, and after 3 years of being pre-med, decided I did not want to be bothered at all hours of the day. So I looked into communications and went with a communications undergrad, and then had no idea what I was going to do. And my father, who had been a physician, said, "I think you should look at speech pathology." Okay, that sounds good. So I looked at it, thought it sounded pretty interesting, and completed my master's at Georgia State many years ago. And I have worked in all different areas of speech pathology. I started off in the school system. I've worked in outpatient clinics, acute care, long-term care, rehab, and outpatient clinics.
That's great. We want to move right along today. We're a little bit short on time, but we want to move along. The nature of this show revolves around the subject of aphasia. So without being long-winded as to why, Prashant called us and said, "Hey, I think this would be a good idea." So here we are. So what I want to where I want to begin is for one of you, and I'm assuming it's going to be Heidi versus Prashant. What is aphasia? Who does it affect? How do you address it? Just tell us about it.
Well, aphasia can commonly occur after a brain injury, a stroke most commonly, or any type of acute brain injury. And it can either affect your ability to understand or to verbally communicate.
Does it only manifest after an injury?
Well, sometimes with different types of dementia, you can develop something very similar to an expressive aphasia and have difficulty with word finding. But it's more common after a direct brain injury.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So it can be anywhere from, it can range anywhere from being completely nonverbal and not being able to follow any commands up to higher levels where you're just having trouble perhaps speaking in lengthy conversations or reading at a paragraph level or expressing yourself in a more complex fashion as opposed to simple one-answer and two-answer words and phrases.
All right. So, again, we have to remember lay people, so we've got to kind of paint a picture. Does it express or does it manifest itself in the inability to find certain words or to be able to form the words? What is the process there?
Okay, generally, when someone, if they've had a stroke and they're experiencing an aphasia, we'll start off with a receptive aphasia. They would have difficulty understanding. Okay. So if you ask them, raise your hand, instead of raising their hand, they may touch their nose.
All right.
So they may have a difficulty following commands. And, of course, that can be simple, basic one-step commands, or it could be a two-step command. They could have difficulty with, like, point to the ceiling, point to the floor. So
it is a communication issue. See, I was under the impression it was simply a inability to properly verbalize or not, but you're telling me it's also about understanding.
Oh, absolutely. And if someone has aphasia and you're providing them with therapy, your long-term outcome goal is to enable them to communicate most effectively in all situations, in their home, in their office, if that's appropriate, in their assisted living facility, with their friends, their family, their caretakers, with everyone around them. So you really want to improve their overall communication skills so that they are able to effectively communicate their basic wants and needs and desires.
So let me clarify a little bit. Aphasia itself is a symptom of something that's happened underneath, or it wouldn't be considered a disease per se, or?
No, it's a communication deficit.
Communication deficit.
And okay. It can either impair your ability to comprehend or express language verbally.
So then following on from that, in terms of recovering from aphasia, it's going to depend on what caused it in the first place, I guess.
Well, that's part of it. But in order to recover, you have to look at several different factors. And some of those factors are the person's overall health. What is their age? Their education level will play into their prognosis for improvement. When was the stroke? You know, how long ago was it? Is it a fairly new stroke, 1 month, or is it 6 months? And the progress can vary from, you tend to make a lot of progress initially up front, and then you may plateau and not see any progress. And a few months later, you may come back and have additional therapy and continue to progress.
You talk about stroke. I can bridge that gap. I'm trying to relate aphasia to the Alzheimer's, as you mentioned. And I guess what my question is, it seems to me as I look at these individuals that have Alzheimer's, in many cases, their ability to comprehend and speak is impaired for whatever reason. So the cause is the aphasia that we just spoke of is a result of that Alzheimer's. So it's reasonable to say that in many cases, or some cases, aphasia is going to be part of that Alzheimer's disease. Is that, did that make sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I do. Okay. The deficits that one can experience with Alzheimer's, they do at times look very similar to aphasia because you have a decrease in their ability to communicate.
Right.
So you could, you know, you would sometimes, if you're working with an individual with Alzheimer's, have similar goals. Okay. Because, again, the bottom line is you want to improve communication because communication is just critical to every aspect of life.
Okay.
So let's jump back over to Prasant for a minute. Prasant, talk to us a little bit more about Ability and what you're doing there, and then, you know, kind of move into how you're dealing with aphasia clients.
Sure. So within the facilities, we try to integrate our clinical staff into the community, be it having an on-site treatment space or having a consistent presence with all three disciplines. Ideally, physical therapy would be present Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, and then the other discipline, occupational therapy, would be there the opposite days, but consistently with the same point of contact. Speech therapy, unfortunately, is a little bit more difficult to distinguish. So we're spending a lot more time with Heidi's help to get the facility folks to understand what types of issues and how speech therapy can benefit their residents and clients.
And how would you go about, Heidi, working with an individual? And I'm sure this is probably a loaded question. It depends upon the individual. But give us a typical therapy routine therapy, course of therapy.
And as you do that, you know, kind of the follow-on question is, you know, that becomes obvious after your statement is why is it more challenging to integrate? Sorry, I'm trying to keep from coughing here. Why is it more challenging to integrate speech therapy, and how are you overcoming that?
Okay, I guess let's discuss an individual who might have aphasia. So the first thing you would want to do is give them a formal test to determine the level of severity, if they're, you know, mild, moderate, or severely impaired for their communication skills, whether it's a deficit in understanding or expressing mm-hmm. and speaking. So once you've identified where the deficits and the problem areas are, then you would... for example, if someone is having word-finding difficulty, they can't think of the word. They might call a glass of water a chair.
Okay.
So what you would do, one of the ways is, you would show them some water and say water and have them touch it. You know, touch the water, say water, see if they're able to repeat the correct response, show them pictures. And try to hit all different modalities, areas of input, to try to retrain and reprogram the brain to get the correct word associated with the object or the picture. And usually in the hierarchy of therapy, you start off identifying objects first and then move on to pictures because the object is easier to work with initially because it's a tactile touch
right,
thing.
Right.
So you kind of progress through. And then you might move into, so that would be for expressive. Now, if they were having trouble understanding, mm-hmm. Let's say they were having trouble understanding commands, and you wanted them to start with point to your nose. I would start off modeling point to my nose, and I would point to my nose and say, you know, you do it now. And if there was nothing, I would take their hand and touch it to their nose and say, point to your nose. To try to retrain the brain again and rewire those pathways that have been damaged by the stroke.
On the expressive side, it is the word water is, I guess they know it, but they're not correctly associating it. Is that what you said?
Right. They might call it something else. And they, a lot of times with expressive aphasia, they don't know that they're using the incorrect word.
Mm-hmm. So it's really, I mean, I need to simplify this to understand it, but I don't want to. It's really like working with a child and teaching them language skills. I mean, that's the way I might be way oversimplifying this, but this is the way I see it.
Well, it's a bit more challenging.
I'm sure it takes so easy. Yeah, it takes a master's degree. I understand.
Oh, no. If it were only so easy, because the child, when you're teaching them the word, they don't know any other word for it.
Yeah.
So it's really much easier to, you know, start from scratch with a child and work your way up. And people progress at different, you know, different levels. And as I said, sometimes you progress really quickly initially, and then you have a little phase where you plateau and don't make any progress, and then you resume again and continue on with continued therapy.
Yeah. Let's go over to Prasant. This speech therapy is a, as defined by the government, Medicare, is a physical medical issue. It is, I guess where I'm going with this, it is a reimbursable expense under Medicare.
That's correct? Right. It's a covered billable service.
Yeah. But yet we don't hear a lot about it out there.
The unfortunate part is adult speech therapy outside of the hospital and the nursing home is not as prevalent as it should be. The folks that are discharged don't have the follow through to get services. And a lot of times the potential for progress isn't completely understood by the individual to look for resources.
How let's draw a relationship here. Is there any number that you can associate, let's say with stroke victims, let's just use that. How many stroke victims develop aphasia? Do you know? I mean, am I grasping for straws here?
I don't really know a statistic on that, because sometimes it doesn't affect your speech. Sometimes it affects your swallowing or your cognition. So as far as aphasia, mm-hmm. as a direct effect of aphasia, I really don't have that number.
Where I'm trying to go, and maybe I need to ask it differently, how many adults suffer from aphasia or have that? Any idea? I mean, I'm trying to that you, we were talking about why it's not well known, and that's where I'm going with this.
I really don't have that number off the top of my head.
And I can give you one specific scenario is that currently we have four speech therapists. About a third of their caseload is aphasia or cognitive impairment related, not swallowing.
All right.
So, again, going back to what you said about the fact that speech therapy is not as widely implemented or recommended as it should be, why is that?
Heidi, we've talked about that some. I'll let you take that one.
Okay. I think in part it's because physicians and other healthcare professionals just aren't really aware of all the things that speech pathologists can provide and all the benefits from speech therapy. So it's really, you know, up to us to go out and educate people and say, you know, this is what we can do. We can help you. You don't have to, you know, suffer, and you can make improvements. It can get better.
And let's draw the correlation between the ability to properly communicate and receiving the proper care. That's where we probably lose sight of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and home health is prescribed at the hospital or the rehab when a client is going home. And so the education needs to happen not just with families, you know, because families can obviously ask for it, but it needs to happen in the facilities mm-hmm. where they're not prescribing it when they probably should be.
I can see from your business, Prashant, where you've got this individual with a stroke. Here's a prime example. So there's got to be physical rehabilitation going on. But if this individual is not able, if the communication between the patient and your therapist is impaired, then that means the therapy either isn't good or is prolonged, or in other words, there's a cost
diminished.
Factor there.
Yeah.
That, I mean, let's equate it. There's a cost factor involved. Yeah.
And quite often when you're engaging in speech therapy, you don't see the results as quickly as you may in physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that impact Medicare's reimbursement? Because, you know, typically home health is intermittent and short. And if you've got a long-term program that, you know, needs to be implemented over a course of 6 months, is Medicare going to cover that?
Yes. Sorry, we're looking at each other going, who's going to answer that? The reality is, you know, because there are structured objectives that have measurements that are attached. We make sure that there is improvement that's shown across those objectives, and in that case, we can continue to treat the person.
So those reimbursable objectives are different than physical therapies.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And is it the case where it's a certain number of visits that are approved, or a timeline, or a combination of both?
So the treatment plan is based on what the clinician feels is relevant based on the condition. The physician does sign off on it. The budget, so to speak, Medicare Part B or third-party insurance, would set aside a certain dollar amount that's the budget for the year, be it PT and speech combined or for occupational therapy. Unfortunately, in this case, if the person had the stroke and they're getting physical and speech therapy, that's going to be split between the two. So there's a prioritization that happens based on what should be had.
We are unfortunately short on time today, but I know that having done this for a while, you've got to have some success stories out there, and everybody loves a story. Is there one particular case that you can think of where you've been able to significantly impact a patient's life?
Oh, several years ago, I had a patient I was working with in an inpatient rehab center. He had a stroke. He was getting speech, physical, and occupational therapy. He had great difficulty communicating verbally as well as understanding, and he was actually a CPA. So we were actually able to rehab him and get him to go back to work part-time.
Wow.
Great. I know that Prashant just kind of looked at me. There was another topic that you wanted to bring to light. Go ahead.
So what brought Heidi and I's paths across was I came across Brain Masters, which is a preventative component to cognitive decline. Without me saying too much, I'll let Heidi explain that.
Well, Brain Masters is a program that I developed. I was thinking over the years, we have all these interventions for individuals with cognitive declines who have suffered a stroke or a head injury or Alzheimer's or dementia, and I thought, we need to have something for those who just want to kind of beef up their brains and make improvements. And I did extensive research on neuroplasticity and discovered that you are never too old for new learning, and the brain is always able to form new brain pathways if you do the correct things and engage in new learning. So I developed a program called Brain Masters, where it's a wellness brain fitness program. It's a group interactive program that I conduct, and we do activities one-on-one with a partner and with the entire group. Some of the activities are written, some are oral, and every class is completely different, and it's to get the individuals engaged in new learning to form new brain pathways.
Great. Well, I hate to cut you off. This has been a very informative show, and I will put it out there at the right time. I'd like to invite both of you back, and we can pick this up and discuss it more in detail.
Well, it certainly sounds like we could do a whole show on Brain Masters.
Yeah. Once again, we have to apologize to our listening audience, but again, time is short. Prashant, tell our listening audience how they can get a hold of Ability Rehab.
Sure. So our web address is www.ability-rehab.com. Our office number is 678-298-9484. We do cover the Metro Atlanta area and are readily available and accessible to discuss, you know, therapy services and just our program in general.
Good. Heidi, how could they reach you if they wanted to contact you?
They can reach me. My cell phone for Brain Masters is 770-265-7692, and I also have a website. It's brain-masters.com.
Well, we certainly appreciate both of you being here. We will extend the invitation to welcome you back, and I think Brad probably opened the door for Brain Masters. We'll certainly address that. Thank you again for being our guest today.
Thanks for having
us.
That's it for today. We want to remind our listening audience that they can always listen to a rebroadcast of today's show at eugeriaradio.com. And as always, we want to close and say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.